read verses 1 through 4 of chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. The epistle of 1 John illustrates the Christian life, that is, the life that we are called upon to live on this earth. In this letter, 1 John, you have the basics, you have the fundamentals of the Christian life. And what's interesting is that they are stated in absolutes. That is, it is a presentation of the truths of the Christian life, but it's in black and white. There are no gray areas. There are no shades of gray throughout the book of 1 John. In fact, it often draws a very sharp contrast. For example, in chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 7, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, you have light versus darkness. There's nothing in between. Light, darkness. And you see in chapter 2, verses 21 and 21, you have truth and you have lies. There's nothing in between. No gray area. Truth or lies. You have the children of God versus the children of the devil. In chapter 3, in verse 10. So they're very sharp contrast in order to present this life. It teaches us that those who have been saved, these contrasts teach us that they've been radically changed. They've been radically changed from darkness to light, from lies to truth, from children of the devil to children of God. There's been a radical change. And that change is to be evidenced in life. And that change will be evidenced in life. If the change has taken place, it will be evidenced. If it's not evidenced, you can be sure it has not taken place. So the epistle of 1 John is an illustration that the Christian life is absolute, it's radical, and it is a very manifest life. And we want to take the thought this evening from the verses that we've read, of course. We want to notice some words that apply to you and I, the saved. And notice in verses 1 and 2, we read the words, we have. We have. Speaking of personal experience. In verse 1, it says, we have. We have heard. We have seen, we have looked upon, we have handled. It's talking about a personal experience. In those words, there's an advancing in that experience. It advances, it's in stages. In verse 2, we have seen and bear witness and show. Once again, we have. And once again, there's an advancing, there's a progression of spiritual activity. So this life that is being presented in 1 John is continuous. It's not just every now and then. It is a life that is constantly developing. It's progressing. It's advancing. And we all realize there is such a thing as backsliding. There are times where we go backwards. There's no question about that. But overall, the Christian life is not overall backsliding. The Christian life is an overall progression. Yes, there are times when we fail and we go backwards. We're all aware of that. But overall, that's not our life. There's a very concerning problem if that is your overall life, backsliding. So overall, it should be a life of progression, a life of advancing. So the subject this evening is the advancing stages of the Christian life. And again, 1 John is an illustration of the Christian life. Before we look into the advancements, consider the foundation of this life, of this Christian life. The foundation, of course, is salvation. You cannot live the Christian life described in 1 John outside of a personal experience of salvation. It can't be done. So that is the basic, that is the primary foundation, is salvation. And John makes this very clear throughout the letter. 1 John is very, very clear. 1 John is very clear in saying that if you're not a person of love, you're lost. He makes that statement several times. If you can't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're lost. If you don't love the Lord, you're lost. I mean, he doesn't say you're backslidden. He just says there's no life in you. So this salvation, of course, is foundational. This salvation experience. The foundation, other than salvation, the foundation would be Christ. Now notice, John begins the letter by setting before us, just as he did in the Gospel of John, God in the flesh. He says, that which was from the beginning. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about Christ. Again, the reason he starts here is because Christ is the subject of the Christian life. That's obvious from the very term Christian, a follower of Christ. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Why? Because they followed Christ. That's what a Christian does. They follow Christ. So Christ is the subject of this life. In other words, this life cannot be lived apart from Jesus being the subject, from Jesus being the point, the main point. The life cannot be lived outside of Jesus Christ. We also see, not only can it not be lived outside of Christ, Christ must be a reality to the one who is going to live this life. And we see John, after affirming Christ's eternity, that which was from the beginning, he then gives proof of his reality. You can't prove eternity. I mean, you can't bring forth evidence of eternity. You either believe it or you don't. But there's no evidence to prove eternity. So he just makes a statement, that which was from the beginning. It's eternal. You either believe that or you don't. But then following that, he shows that Christ is a reality. He's a reality. Notice in verse 1, he states, we have heard, seen, looked, and handled. And he's referring to Christ. He's saying, we have heard Christ. He was with Christ, he and the other apostles. He says, we heard Christ, we saw him, we looked upon him, and we even handled him, or we touched him. That all points to one truth. He's real. He's real. You can't hear that which is not real. You cannot see that which is not real. You cannot look upon that which is not real. And certainly you cannot touch that which is not real. So he's saying here that Christ is reality. He is saying that Christ was visible. Not only visible, he was audible. We've heard him. He speaks. He's audible. He's tangible. We can touch him. We can look upon him. So Christ was reality. Christ was actuality. And then in verse 2, we see Christ was manifested. For the life was manifested. And we have seen it. So Jesus Christ was manifested to them. That simply means he was displayed. He demonstrated himself in a very clear way. This is absolutely necessary if we are going to consistently live this Christian life. Jesus Christ must be a reality. That is a reality that we can hear, that we can see, that we can look upon, that we can handle, and that is manifested and displayed in a very clear way. Notice, that which was manifested, for the life was manifested, verse 2, and we have seen it. The life that was in him. John says, we've seen it. We've seen it. And then verse 3, he says, we have seen and heard. And also in verse 3, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You can't fellowship with that which is not there. You can't fellowship with that which is not real. So all of this in verse 2, or verses 2 and 3, speaks of the fact that Christ was reality. Christ was an actuality. And this life, this Christian life, cannot be lived apart from him being a reality. You can hear all about Jesus Christ. You can come to church every time the church doors are open and you can hear about Jesus Christ. But hearing about Jesus Christ will not enable you to live consistently the Christian life. He has to be real. Has to be something you can hear, something you can see, something you can behold, something you can handle, something that is demonstrated to you. Also, there has to be absolute assurance. If we're going to live this Christian life, there has to be absolute assurance. All through the book, it's written in a note of certainty. There is an absolute certainty displayed all through the book. Again, that absolute certainty is seen in the words, we have. We have. We have heard. We have heard. We have seen with our eyes. Why didn't he just say, we have seen? It's like you and I when we say, I saw it with my own eyes. Well, really, that's the only way you can see it. But why do we use that phrase? It's to emphasize. I know for certain I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. I know for certain. And that's what he's saying here. This is an assurance. Jesus Christ is real. Also, the word know, K-N-O-W, occurs 27 times in the book. And the word known occurs 5 times in the book. So 32 times. And then you could add the word truly. So it's even more than 32 times. But 32 times he expresses a knowledge of assurance. A knowledge of awareness. So there has, if we're going to live this life, there has to be salvation. That's a given. There has to be Christ. Christ has to be a reality. There has to be an awareness of Jesus Christ. There has to be an assurance. That is, no one can convince us otherwise. Why? We heard it with our own ears. We've seen it with our own eyes. We've touched with our own hands. It's been manifested clearly to us. No one can convince us otherwise. We're absolutely certain of Jesus Christ. That is absolutely necessary if we're going to live this life. There is a group, of course, who will lead people to say a prayer. And then they will spend the rest of their ministry convincing that person that they're saved. Because that person struggles constantly with assurance. They're always struggling with assurance. Because all they have is a prayer. They ought to struggle with assurance. And the preacher or whoever, Sunday school teacher, well, you remember the time when you said that prayer? Yes, I do. You're saved. And they have assurance for the next 5-10 minutes. And then they struggle with it. And their whole life is a struggle. But if we're going to live this life, it goes back to salvation. Every one of us that have been saved, there have been times in our life where we doubted our salvation. But if you can go back to that time, that personal experience, that settles it. And so you have this assurance. We don't always live like we're saved, but that doesn't undo what happened back there. And that's why it's important that we never get away from that. We always can go back there. Another thing that's absolutely necessary is fellowship. He says in verse 3, truly, or most certainly, there's that assurance again. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, there's reality there. The Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So this fellowship with the Lord, what does that involve? Well, it involves a nearness to God. This life cannot be lived without a nearness to God. Fellowship with God the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, is a receiving from God. That's what this life is. It's a knowledge of the Lord. It's a receiving from the Lord. It is a knowledge and experience of God. It is communion with God. It is sharing in the interest of the Lord. That's what fellowship is. It's sharing a common interest. It's friendship with God. It's an identification with God. It speaks of a common ground with the Lord. So a person that's truly saved, and they spend most of their time, they choose to spend most of their time, I should say, with lost people, that says a lot. Because you choose your friends based on common ground. Our fellowship is with the Lord. There's a common ground that we have with the Lord. And we can fellowship with one another because of that common ground. Fellowship with the Lord means that we delight in Him. He delights in us. It means that we walk with Him. Again, all of this is real. Notice our fellowship is. It doesn't say our fellowship has been. Our fellowship is. Present tense, ongoing. This is not just something that happens once or twice a year. This is an ongoing fellowship. It's the personal experience of the Lord. This is necessary if we're going to live this life every day. There has to be an ongoing personal experience with the Lord, an ongoing relationship with the Lord. It conveys the idea of a connection with the Lord, an ongoing connection, an interrelation with God, a bond between us and the Lord. And again, this is ongoing. This doesn't just happen every now and then. This is an ongoing experience with the Lord. That's These are foundational to this life that is being described, because this life being described cannot be lived apart from an ongoing fellowship and relationship with the Lord. The truth is, a lot of people would not struggle where they struggled if they had a true relationship with the Lord. Now, I realize we all have struggles. I understand that. But there are people that struggle with things they shouldn't struggle with. So, it's not theological truth. It's not religion. It's not the rules of religion that enable one to live this life, that enables one to live the Christian life. Theological truth is wonderful. But theological truth will not enable you to continually live this life. Rules. There are rules. You can't read God's word without seeing that. But rules will not enable you to live this life. There has to be a personal, ongoing relationship with the Lord. And if there is that personal, ongoing relationship with the Lord, theological truth becomes more wonderful. We love it more. It becomes more precious. And it enables us to move beyond mere religion. Mere religion will not enable you to live the Christian life. Well, my children were in church all their life. That does not enable you to live the Christian life. I'm glad they were in church. They should have been. But that does not enable you to live the Christian life. First of all, there has to be salvation. And even if there's salvation, there has to be an ongoing relationship with the Lord. This is foundational. And if we have this ongoing relationship with the Lord, it fills us with a desire. We want to obey the rules of God. We want to obey. So again, I believe that probably all religions have had this backwards for a long time. And I believe the scriptures are very clear. Almost every book of the Bible addresses the issue that in one way or the other, in one way or another, that there has to be a relationship with the Lord. There has to be that relationship. If there is not, you can present all the rules you want. And you can say, we were strict. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be. But if there's not a loving relationship, rebellion's coming. It's not if, it's coming. It's going to happen. Then notice the blessed result of this relationship. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. There's joy in this relationship. That is, there's a delight. There's a pleasure. There's a gladness. There's a happiness that flows from this relationship with the Lord. But it's not just joy. It's fullness of joy. Again, joy and happiness is a result. And here it's a result of a relationship of the Lord. It's a state. It's a condition. It's a way of life. So that is the foundation of this Christian life that we are to live. But now let's look at the advancing and progressive stages of this life. What John states in our text, first of all, is very real. And it is a very personal experience. And it is progressive in nature. And it all relates to that first statement, that which was from the beginning. It all relates back to that. That which is from the beginning, he's referring to Jesus Christ. He's referring to God incarnate. God in the flesh. Now notice, which we have heard. That which was from the beginning, we have heard. That's an extraordinary experience. To hear would mean to perceive. That is, we have perceived that which was from the beginning by the ear. We have become aware of that which is from the beginning by the ear, by hearing. We understand that which was from the beginning. That's amazing. To have any understanding of that which was from the beginning is amazing. That's a miracle. And again, we do this by the ear. But it says, we have. So it is a personal experience. Hearing the Lord is a personal experience, and it is a key element if we're going to live this life. We have heard. Now, is there just one time when we heard from the Lord? Of course, no, this is ongoing. We're still hearing. Again, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that faith is indispensable to the Christian life. And in Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. You don't have it without hearing. But it's not just any kind of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And John says, we have heard. Now the Bible has much to say about hearing. Jesus said in Luke 8 and verse 18, take heed how or in what manner you hear. Take heed how you hear. But again, there's the ongoing need, if we're going to live this life, this Christian life, there's the ongoing need to hear the Word of God. And there is also the ongoing need to hear the Lord. You can hear the Word of God without hearing the Lord. You need to do both. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to hear it as it comes from the Lord. And that doesn't just happen on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday evenings. That's to be an everyday experience. That we hear the Lord. And when we have properly heard, how do we know when we have properly heard? Well, that leads to a deeper personal experience of Christ. We have heard. We have seen. You see, it's gone deeper now. We have looked upon. It's gone even deeper. We have handled. So we know when we have properly heard that it just keeps progressing. And then there's a manifestation. There's a manifestation. When we've properly heard, there's a manifestation. If these things don't take place, we've just heard with our ears. And we've gained nothing. Following we have heard, notice we have seen. We have seen. Big difference between hearing and seeing. Both are real, but there is a difference. We have heard, we have seen. That is, we have perceived Christ by hearing, but we have also perceived and discerned and become aware of Christ and understand by sight. And again, he says, we have seen with our eyes. Added for emphasis. John is saying, I have seen Christ with my own eyes. And he did. He's saying, you're not going to convince me otherwise. I have seen with my own eyes Jesus Christ. So we've gone from hearing to seeing. But notice also, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon. Now, there's a difference between seeing and looking. You can see something very briefly, But when you stop and look, you see now it's a closer sight. You're looking at it. It's a more deliberate inspection, if you will. So you see, we're advancing. We've heard, we have seen, and what we've seen, we've now stopped and we're looking at it. This needs to happen every day. And there's that progression. And if this happens every day, you don't get backslidden. This happens every day. You have that ongoing Christian life. We have looked upon, it coincides with John 1 verse 14, we beheld His glory. We beheld His glory. It did not say we saw His glory, though they did. But this goes further than that. We beheld. That is, we continued to look upon Him. It's like we could not turn ourselves away. So we have this progression. We have heard. We have seen with our eyes. We have looked upon. And then it progresses even further. And our hands, again, our hands, my own hands, that's added for emphasis, to emphasize the reality and the certainty. We have, and our hands have handled. Our hands have touched. Now that's a progression, because you can hear something and yet be at such a distance that you can't touch. Brother Steve could speak and I could hear, but from here, I can't touch him. I can see him and I can look upon him, but I can't touch him. What must happen so I can touch? We've got to move closer. So you see the progression here. We hear, we see, we look, and we touch. So now John has moved even closer. This needs to be our everyday life. We need to hear the Lord every day. We need to see Him every day. We need to look upon Him every day. But we can't stop there, because we can do all of those things from a distance. But I do believe if you truly hear and you truly see and you truly look, the very next result is you're going to draw closer. You're going to move closer. Because what you've heard is so marvelous. What you've seen and what you're looking upon is so marvelous. I got to get closer to this. And He handles. So He's moved closer. There's this progression. But the progression continues in verse 2. That which... for the life was manifested. The life is referring to the life of Christ. Was manifested. That is, it was made obvious to me. John is saying the very life of Christ was made obvious to me. That which is manifested has been made clear. The life of Christ is made clear. It's made plain. It's very evident. It's very distinct. It's definite. It's unmistakable. The life was manifested. And then notice what he says. And we have seen it. Seen what? The manifested life of Christ. So when we have this progression, there's a manifestation of the Lord. There needs to be a manifestation of the Lord every day in our lives. So much so that we say, I saw it. I saw it. And again, that follows the moving close to touch Him. I believe that's referring, by the way, to John chapter 20. The night of the resurrection, when Jesus came to the apostles. And remember, He showed Himself to them. He manifested Himself in a very clear way. The closer we are, the more manifest He becomes. So you have to move close to handle to touch. And the closer we are, the more manifest He is. I believe that's true in all spiritual learning as well. I believe we'll understand the Bible more the closer we are to the Lord. I believe we'll understand a lot of things the closer we are to the Lord. Notice following the manifestation, there was an excitement. For the life was manifest and we have seen it and bear witness. That is, we testify. What do they testify? They testify what they've seen, what they've heard. There was an excitement, and as we progress spiritually, there is a desire to bear witness. I promise you, if these things take place, you want to tell somebody. You want to bear witness. And that's what John says. We bear witness. We testify. And then notice what else it says. Again, it advances even more. Not only do we testify and show unto you that eternal life. So the life was manifested. And now we see that eternal life. That's the life that was manifested. The life in Christ. And He says, we show it to you. Not only do we testify, but we show it. We show it to you. So you see, again, everywhere you look in these verses, there is this progression. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, which is that which was from the beginning and that which was manifested, we declare. And declare we unto you. And then He sums it all up by saying, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, the Christian life is presented in 1 John. It's a wonderful life. There's no greater life to be lived on this earth. It's disturbing that God's people, those who profess to be saved, feel that they're losing out if they live this life. They don't want their children to live this life because we don't want to rob them of some of the joys of the world. You're out of your mind. If that's the thinking, that's insanity. It's a truly wonderful and amazing life. And as you look at these verses, you see very clearly it's not a life that's stagnant. Again, there are times when we become stagnant. There's no question. But that should not be the overall picture of our life. If it is, something is seriously, seriously wrong, something that should concern you greatly. The Christian life advances. Advances in stages. And it's daily. We don't have to, aren't you glad that you don't have to wait till Sunday or Wednesday and that's not the only time you hear from God? Again, if that's the only time you hear from God, I doubt that you hear from God then either. It's a daily thing. We hear Him, we see Him. We like what we see, so we look upon it. We look upon it. And we like what we look upon so much that we draw closer to Him so we can touch. And then He manifests Himself. And then we can't help but bear witness and show. That's the Christian life. Thank God that the Lord saved our soul. And now we have the privilege of living the greatest life that a human being can live upon this earth. People say all the time, look at the rich and the famous, and say, oh man, that's the life. This is the life. To be able to live for Jesus Christ, the Christian life, that's living. It doesn't get any better than that on this earth. The Christian life. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.